I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is September 20th, 2011, 5 p.m. I'd like to ask if there are any declarations of a conflict of interest from any of the board members. Ms. Rowe?
No, sir.
Mr. McCarter?
None.
Mr. Jones?
None.
And myself, Robert Fino, has none. Mr. Heine is not here at this time. He is the only member that is not present. Mr. Heine is on vacation. We'll be gone for most of this week. I'd like to ask the chief to lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We only have one item on the consent agenda, so moving to agenda item number 5, approval of minutes from August 16, 2011.
I move to approve the minutes of the August 16, 2011.
We have a motion by Ms. Roll to approve the minutes from August 16, 2011.
I'll second that.
We have a second by Mr. Bill McCarter. Any discussion? We'll now take a vote on that. All those voting in favor of approving the minutes from August 16th, 2011 with a show of hands. Show of hands, show all board members did vote in favor of that. Do we have anybody in the public wishing to address the board? We'll move on to reports. Under financial, Mr. Heine was going to discuss the current situation, and then the chief will discuss some of the under and overpayments of the accounts. The chief will also discuss about the medical billings. I talked to Mr. Heine. We had both worked together last week on getting the payrolls out and also getting all the billing out last week. We did 2 days of that, and it was touchy, difficult situation. Mr. Heine requested from the board in the fire district that only he have access to the computer to ensure the security of the system and the payrolls and the records. And I agreed with him. He will be back. Is this a pay period week, Chief, this week? Okay. He said it'll be back
by next pay period,
possibly late Thursday, and he will be in 7:30 Friday morning.
I think it's great that he's planning on coming back.
Yes.
I think, in fact, he is. He's kind of planning it short just so he can come back to be fair.
So I will be there with him. He requested to always have one board member present when he is doing the payroll as a witness.
Okay.
And if you're able to come in, I'm able to come in at this time. If I'm not, I'll call one of the other board members to come in and be a witness to that. But
when is it? Friday?
Friday, 7:30 in the morning is when he's going to be coming in. Mr. Heine does a very good job. He knows his job, and he just wants to concentrate on what he's doing and not be bothered. But so if we come to witness, observe, learn as much as you can. In case Mr. Heine can't do it, one of us will be there.
Yeah, I won't be in town next Friday.
Okay. I would like to, are there any questions concerning that portion before I ask the chief to comment? Any other questions concerning the payroll and the checks? Now the chief will discuss some of the under and overpayments of the accounts, and the chief will also discuss about the medical billing. Chief, I'll pass that over to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As most of you have already known, you guys have pretty much already seen most of the stuff that has come in, that's overpaid and underpaid. So I don't think I need to go into full detail on that. And Mr. Chairman, you're kind of picking it up as you're going along with Mr. Heine. As far as the medical billing, most of you probably already know most of that too. Not everything has been turned in on that. I do have Maria coming out next week. She's shooting for either Tuesday or Wednesday to go over the billing process with us to help us get back on track.
Who's Maria?
Maria is with Frye Fire District. She is the office manager for Frye.
The only thing I heard about something wrong with the books is when you send them an email. That's the only thing I've heard about.
Okay. I understand that this is not something that's wrong with the books. It's just the ambulance billing hasn't been kept up. I saw a stack, and I'm not sure exactly how much the chief is going to keep tabs on and exactly how many ambulance billings reports weren't turned in and the monies that were involved. And I have one question. Would this person from Frye, will we be paying her, or...
Most likely, because we pay them now to do our billing.
So this is from the billing network?
Right, this is for the medical billing aspect of the job.
Okay.
So anyhow, we are behind on that. I have been saving all the checks that have been coming in. So when Maria gets here, she'll tell me how to process them. So that way they don't send out late notices to other folks in the district again. And that's been happening. So people are calling up to Frye saying, why are we getting billed again? We paid our bill. So to stop that, she'll be here to show us how to handle it.
And that was Lori's responsibility, billing?
Yes. So nothing new other than what we've already discussed and got.
Okay. Thank
but
you.
I did want to mention that she will be here either Tuesday or Wednesday.
If you would email us and let us know what that's going to cost per hour, I'm sure the board would appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Moving on to the Chief's report, and that'll be given by you, Chief. Go ahead.
Okay. Fire reports. We had 0 prescribed fires. We had 2 false alarms, 1 structure fire, 3 brush fires, and 5 other calls, which are snake removal, bee calls, public assist. Year-to-date on the fire calls, we've had 80. On the EMS, we've had 18 transports, 3 flyouts, 2 second-out ambulance calls, and 7 refusals. Year-to-date on the ambulance is 285 calls. We currently have 2 ambulances available with advanced life support and 1 basic life support. That's all.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a question on this basic life support ambulance. What does that mean? Is that one of the new ones that didn't get enough stuff in it?
It just basically, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Chief.
It just means that it doesn't have any medical drugs. It doesn't have the expensive equipment that the other two have, like the monitor, and mainly the drugs and the monitor.
Is that one of the new ones we bought?
No, this is one of the older ones.
And which 2 ambulances are ready for advanced life support?
We currently are running 303 and 301. However, today we pulled 303 out of service and sent it for repairs.
Which one is the new one?
The new one is 303.
303, what was the repair?
It's having a charging issue. We put new batteries in it, for some reason it's not holding the charge. So we're going to check it out and see why it's not holding the charge.
Anything else from the board? Any other questions? Under new business, I'm going to move item number B up to the front, if that's okay with Captain Josh, concerning the public safety retirement system, and that'll be followed by discussion and possible vote by the board to proceed with the recommendations from the fire personnel. Captain?
Thank you. My name is Josh Steinberg. I'm the EMS captain with the department here. The main reason I'm coming up here today is because we're asking to see if we can get a retirement change. We are currently in the Arizona State Retirement System, and we are asking to be put in the Public Safety Retirement System. The purpose of this, again, is the employees of the Sunset Pierce Fire District would like to join the Public Safety Retirement System, also known as PRS. We are currently, again, in the Arizona State Retirement, also known as ASRS, which I will refer to in further slides. Under the Arizona State Retirement System that we are currently under, the employees are currently paying 13.13% plus 4.2% in Social Security, 0.23% for Arizona State Retirement System long-term disability, and 1.45% in Medicare. This totals up to 17.1% deduction on top of taxes that are deducted from our check. So this is not counting federal, state, anything like that. This is all separate just for retirement and Social Security and Medicare. Under Arizona State Retirement System, the district currently pays 9.87% for the employees, 0.23% for long-term disability, and 6.2% for Social Security, and an equal 1.45% for Medicare. Under the Arizona State Retirement System, to receive a full retirement,
Could we go back?
Sure.
What does that add up to?
I'm sorry, that should be on there.
0.23 adds up to 10.
17.75, I believe it was.
17.65,
okay.
Oh, no, 17.75.
Yes, that got
it's 10.10, okay.
But the district is paying number 2, whereas you have to pay number 1?
Correct. Yeah, the top number is the 17.01 is what the employees are paying as a total for Social Security, Medicare, Arizona State Retirement, and State Retirement Long-Term Disability. And again, the bottom is what the employer is paying. Under Arizona State Retirement System, to get a full retirement, the employee must be 55 years old and have 30 years of service. Or 60 years old, 25 years of service, 62 years old, 10 years of service, or 65 years old and there's no service requirement. There is some service involved, but there's no requirement to that, the number of years of service that they require for that. What is the Public Safety Retirement System? The Public Safety Retirement System was actually made for police and fire to give them an alternative retirement system that would give them a 20-year retirement versus the 55 to 65-year age limit that state retirement currently has. This is a separate entity of the state that that does have its own governing board that manages the funds. They do investments, much like Arizona State Retirement, but just to a larger spectrum is how they do that. Again, this provides a standard uniform across the board for police and firefighters, the same retirement for any full-time police department or full-time fire and EMS department. That is what it causes, what you need to qualify for this. The type of retirement that this is, under IRS, is an 401A IRS code, is it defined as a benefit plan. Really doesn't matter how much any individual employee or employer puts into it. It is all based off of 20 years of service, and you will get 50 to 55% of your highest 3 consecutive years of pay. So again, it doesn't matter how much each individual employee or employer puts in. You don't receive that exact amount. You receive your highest 3 consecutive paid years. So say years for me would be 17 through 20. Be my highest consecutive 3 years, they will average that those 3 years, and I will get 50% of that amount. If I hit 20, and if you go past, you get a little bit more.
So
this
is a higher payback?
Yes, yes. The biggest thing, and we'll get to it right now, is the 20-year. The employer and the employee contributions. Right now, the employee contribution just went up to 8.65% for this fiscal year, and it will be increasing for the next 4 years. The employer contribution, unfortunately, there is no set number, which I'll get to that in another slide. But you have to do a study. There's a study that's done by Public Safety Retirement System to determine to make sure that our district is eligible to be in the system, to go over all the legal paperwork, and decide how much our tax base is here, and do a value assessment for the district.
Didn't we have that done once?
No, we had talked about it, but I don't believe it was ever done through Public Safety. We were trying.
No.
Yeah, I don't believe we ever did.
Correct.
We had gotten the paperwork, and it just never followed through. So again, unfortunately, there is no set number for the employer contribution. That valuation has to be done to assess that. Again, this is due to the changes that just happened in Public Safety Retirement System. The employee's contribution will go up to 11.65% the fiscal year 2015-2016. Again, it is currently 8.65, and it will be going up until 2016. After that, they have put a cap on it at 11.65 for the employee contribution, but that is yet to be seen. But these are all changes that just went into effect as of July 1, 2011. So there's quite a few other changes that happened in July, but this is one of the major ones, the employee contribution. To receive a full retirement under public safety, the employee must complete 20 years of service or be 62 years of age and have at least 15 years of service. The biggest change is coming up that will affect employees. The greatest degree is after January 1, 2012. To receive a full retirement under public safety, you must complete at a minimum of 25 years, and you will not receive payment on that 25-year retirement until you reach the age of 52 and a half years old. Somebody in my case, I've already had 9 years in the public safety retirement system myself. If I continue on, I would be 40 to 41 years old when I retire. If we get back into it after January of 2012, or if we get into public safety, I will have to wait pretty much 12 and a half years before I will get a retirement check. So that's one of the biggest changes, and that's unfortunately that is one of the time constraints that they just threw in. Again, in July, they put a lot of things in, but they left this open until January 1st of 2012.
If you get this retirement, are you also qualified for Social Security?
That's something we're going to delve into, yes. Now, public safety retirement generally means you don't pay Social Security, but I'll get to it in a later slide that will hopefully clarify that a little bit, but there is going to be a complication with that. Total in the public safety retirement system, again, it also is in all police and fire agencies. There's 252 different agencies in the state of Arizona that are in this system. The closest ones are, of course, the Cochise County Sheriff's Department, Benson Police, Bisbee Police and Fire, Douglas Police and Fire, Safford Police, Sierra Vista Police and Fire, Tombstone Police, and Wilcox Police, and, of course, the Fire District. Any of the full-time police or fire in Cochise County, any full-time employees are under the system as it sits right now. The smaller ones are still employee volunteers and things like that. Some of them aren't, but there's, like I said, 252 agencies total that are in the system. The actuarial study is the one that would have to be done to determine the employer's contribution. That's the one Mr. Carter just spoke about. And it's an actuarial valuation study that has to be done. It does cost $1,500. Again, but once that is done, they will send back in the fine print what the employer's contribution will be, what the employee's contribution will be, ensure that the district is qualified to join public safety, and that each employee that is applying for it is actually eligible to join. The major requirements are that you are a full-time fire or EMS official. Again, the study will gain the employer-employee contributions. The volunteer firefighters fund that we currently have. I haven't been able to find out if this is actually one of the deferred benefit plans. If it is, it can be rolled over. It doesn't have to be, but it can be rolled over. And if it is rolled over into public safety, it will actually cut the employer's contribution down, because it will take what they call unfunded liability. So this will pay down, whatever we roll over will pay down unfunded liability, and of course that will then again drop down the percentage that the department pays for us. Yes, sir?
Is
Okay, the money that we've already paid into the other system.
Yes, that will all roll over.
That rolls over.
They're both state. These are both state retirement systems. So there is, you can roll to one way or the other without penalty.
And if I remember right, the one we're in is in some danger of not existing any longer?
Well, there's danger with all of them right now. The state retirement didn't take as many hits as public safety did in this last go-round. The public safety has a lot of fail-safe laws, if you will, to protect it from going away and protect the state from just taking the money that's in there. There is over $8 billion funded in the public safety retirement system right now. Arizona State Retirement, I don't think that it's going away, but it has a risk of increasing dramatically due to things that are coming up in our economy and things like that, less jobs, less people paying into it increases everybody else's pay into it. So that is the biggest thing. And of course, this year, as of January 1, it did go from 9.2% to the 11.13% for the employees, and it did go up to 9.8% for the employer. So those did change as of July 1 of this year. But again, I haven't found anything definitive on it, but the worry is that number will continue to go up with state retirement. But again, there's nothing concrete on that, but that is the word. And that number will continue to increase. We will have to still pay Social Security and Medicare due to a Section 18 agreement that was signed apparently quite a while ago. When Section 18 was written by the federal government, they made it very, very, very restrictive. And once you signed it, it is near impossible to get out of it. Nobody has found a way to get out of it. So once that is signed, that means normally in public safety retirement, you would not pay Social Security and Medicare. But due to the fact that we were not a part of a organized retirement when we signed the 218, it means that there's really no way of getting out of it. It doesn't matter what we do, we will continue to pay Social Security and Medicare. But again, I am going to continue to investigate that and hopefully find some way that we can work on that, because I know that is a lot of employees are wishing not to pay into that because it is taking a large portion of our check, paying into Social Security and Medicare.
And we're doing that now, correct?
Right now we are paying into Social Security and Medicare. Like I said, the 17.01% was Social Security, Medicare, state retirement, and the state long-term disability that we pay into every month.
So?
Or every paycheck.
ARS and public safety both pay Social Security and Medicare?
Public safety typically does not, but this department will have to because of that 218
okay.
That was signed, and I didn't get the exact date, but apparently this was probably late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there, that was signed, and when they wrote the Section 218 law and the agreement, they left it to where you can't opt in and out of it. When I was talking to the people at State Retirement and Public Safety today, they said many have tried. They're not saying that it's a definitive no that you can't opt out of it, but they haven't found a way yet. So unfortunately, right now, we are stuck with that because of a 218 agreement. Again, it is a federal Section 218 agreement that we signed. The state did adopt it also. But this is ultimately a federal agreement, which means we are bound to the Social Security and Medicare taxes until we find a way we get out of it if we want to.
But then so, you'll draw off of that when you retire, right?
Hopefully. That, yes, yes, hopefully.
That was my question.
Yes, yes, that means, yes, we will be putting into it, so that means we will be eligible for it. Unfortunately, because we would either Arizona State or Public Safety, one or the other, Social Security will recognize that we are getting a pension from them and they'll probably give us a lower rate. That has been happening, that is common practice right now.
Yes.
With retirees.
Me too.
Yeah. So if you already have another pension, Social Security will look at that and give you a lower number because you already have another pension. So that's the unfortunate thing. We're all going to be paying into it for a long time and not get a whole lot out of it. Kind of finishing it up, joining the public safety retirement system is not just a benefit to current employees, but future employees. There are over 252 agencies in this state that have people that are wishing to transfer or find new jobs. This is one of the biggest things they look at, is if there's they can maintain in the retirement system that they came from. So we can get a lot of very good employees might not look at this department because we don't offer it right now. And some people have turned it, or have showed interest and not come because of that retirement. So again, that's one of the biggest things, is because most places do have it. Working in the fire and EMS field, working 24-hour shifts, it wears on your mind, body, everything. Doing 20 years of it is long enough I've seen quite a few people that have done over 20 years, and it definitely takes its toll. So 25 to 30 years, which state retirement would have to do right now, that's a real long time in this business. So that means I would probably be putting myself, me as an example, I'd be putting almost 40 years in the fire and EMS field just so I can retire as state retirement. I would be doing almost 40 years to retire in the system we're in now, in Arizona state retirement.
So the other system would?
20 years. It's a 20-year system. And myself, I already have a little over 9 years in it. So technically, I would have about 11 years until I'm eligible to retire if we do this before January 1, 2020.
So if you start when you're 20, you could retire when you're 20 with a pension, is that correct?
I could retire when I'm 40, yeah. Theoretically, if we get back into it very soon, I would be right around 41 years old and have a pension and have a retirement. Again, if not, then I would be looking at that 55-year range, 55 years old, which would take another 15 years on my career.
And who pays this pension?
The public safety retirement system. The system will pay the pension. Once somebody retires, everybody stops paying. The department doesn't pay for that employee anymore. The employee doesn't pay. Like I said, it all adds up to the highest three consecutive paid years of that employee's career. So whatever that is, let's just say it's $80,000. I only do 20 years. I get 50 or 55% of that $80,000. So I'm looking at 40, 45, somewhere in there. That's what I will get for the rest of my life as a pension at 41 years old. Again, that's the biggest thing with state retirement is it's a lot more years. It requires a higher age and a higher year requirement to go into that. This is LaDon Toner is the new departments and districts organizer for public safety. She will, if we do ultimately do this, LaDon Toner will be the person we are working with very closely to get us started. She will send us the paperwork and all that good stuff.
Do you have any idea how long it takes to do the audit?
It says 4 to 6 weeks to do the audit. We will send them everything. It'll take 4 to 6 weeks. Right now, she said that there's not a whole lot coming in, so it should be closer to the 4 week range. Just as a fail-safe there, their normal turnaround is 4 to 6 weeks. Again, there are attorneys looking at this and actually drawing up an official contract with Sunset Prescribers. So that does take a little bit of time. And then verifying each employee and verifying that we are an actual fire district and we employ full-time paid firefighters and EMS personnel. Again, those would be the only people that would be eligible for it, for the full-time paid firefighters and EMS.
Josh, just real quick. I know a while back when Brenda was working on this, that the fire district pledged $2,000 or something to that effect for a down payment, and we opted not to go that route because it was taking so long because they were changing hands.
Yes.
You kind of clarify that a little bit?
Sure.
We have to put another $2,000
down? To be honest, as far as I know, the $2,000 that initially was earmarked for it never went to them. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe it ever was actually used for this purpose. It was set aside for it and was earmarked for it, but I don't believe it ever went through. We never, as far as I know, sent that paperwork in. If we did, they would have sent us something back and would have been able to either bring it, if it was Chief McWilliams who brought it to the chief, or the board would have gotten that paperwork saying, this is the fine print. It would have been an actual contract. We sign it, we're in. That's the final thing. So again, everything, once they we pay this money, they send it to us, it just needs approvals. They were going through a switch in their attorneys and all their people to do the studies. They did go through that. It did take a little longer than expected to do the transfer and the new company to take over and figure things out. That has been all hashed out. Again, that was about 2 years ago. So again, this company, GIS, I believe it is, has been doing these for 2 years. Everything's ironed out, and I was assured that it would be not as bad as it was last time. We were working with LaDon Toner the last time this all. We looked at this. Yes, sir.
If we do the study, we don't have to opt into it?
No, sir.
Okay.
The study will give us all the official numbers.
And that'll be $1,500?
That's $1,500, yes. So that will get you everything. That will get you everything you need to know. Like I said, unfortunately, until they do that actuary evaluation study, there's no way of knowing what the employer contribution will be. Typically, I will tell you it is higher than the employee's contribution. I can't say to what number. It's on a case-by-case basis. Some of the bigger areas are obviously paying a lot more on the employer, and some of the smaller areas aren't paying that much. And a lot of it goes off how many people you got, what, how big your district is, how big your budget is. So they look at a lot of those things and determine off of that what will be the employer contribution. But the employee contribution, again, is set by law right now at 8.65, and it will continue to go up every fiscal year 1% until 2015-2016. And it will cap out at 11.65, and there's no other legislation right now to move that up anymore.
Is there any cap on the employer?
Not yet. Employer is a, every fiscal year it's reevaluated. Typically it will go down, unless the only way it wouldn't go down for the employer is if the way it was put to me is if what they invested in pretty much tanked out, I guess for lack of a better term, if it fell through, then they would have to recoup that with employer and sometimes employee contributions to rebuild the fund up to it. But right now they've changed the reins in the Board of Trustees also in the Public Safety Retirement System. And they've got an excellent board that has actually recovered from the retirement system within the last 4 years. It was, I think, about 35% funded 4 years ago, and they got some new people in, and now it's almost 60% and on the incline. They've decided to open it up to global investing, so it's not just restricted to the U.S. and housing markets and money markets. So they are global, and that has helped the fund recover greatly. So, yes, sir.
Can we go back to the slide that gave the percentages in the beginning?
Sure.
Slide. I think it was this one.
Yeah, right there. You're right, it was up.
Right there. Up.
That
there
one?
It is.
Yeah. Again, I guess
11.13 for you guys.
Yes, right now it is.
And 9.87 for us.
Yes. Again, so as... Sir, go ahead, sir.
So it probably would go up for us, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, if we went to this, we would pay a higher percentage.
Normally, yes.
But I'm saying than what we're paying now.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Again, I can't give an exact number. I tried to get a ballpark figure, and again, just because they don't have any of the figures in front of them, they can't even give us a ballpark on what the employers would go up to. But again, if we are able to transfer that volunteer fund over, again, it depends on what it is. There are some cases that it's actually has to be transferred, and if it is, we get credit for it. It's not just taken and thrown away. It's put into our account by showing that the district paid this, so it should drop down the employer's contribution.
Would we know that through the audit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The audit will look into, the study will look into everything we have, if it has to be brought over, and what percentage it will help the district if it does come over. Again, last I checked, I believe we have about $135,000 in that account. If that came over, that could significantly drop down the employer's contribution because, again, it will lower that, I forget the name of it, but it will lower the unfunded liability. And that's part of the percentage that they evaluate, that they adjust the employer's contribution is the unfunded liability.
If I may, I would say this. We would finally have some kind of clarification as to what the world we're supposed to do with that.
Right, especially, I'm pretty sure it's a deferred plan. From what I understand...
Yes, if it is a deferred benefit plan, then it is able to be transferred over, and I believe it would actually have to be transferred over.
Yes, it would have to be.
And as long as it is clarified as that, but again, we wouldn't just be losing money. That would actually build up in the district's account. And again, that will help lower the employers, not the employees. The employees is set. The employers will go down unless other legislation comes through and raises the employees.
Do we want to discuss this now? Or
as soon as Captain Josh.
Just a couple other things if you guys haven't seen them yet. Michelle Griggs is the Social Security. She deals with a lot of that with public safety and finding out who is has to pay it, who doesn't. She was the one that I got all the information from that said we would actually have to because of that Section 218 that was signed. And wished me luck on who you want to get out of it. But again, they were willing to help us every step of the way to get that. Linda with Arizona State Retirement, who I spoke to today, and both of their websites, psprs.com is public safety, of course, and azasrs.gov is Arizona State Retirement. Again, you can find everything that was on this slide plus some more information if you actually want to find out exactly what the benefits are. The benefits for the employees go further than the 20 year. They do have a drop program, which means at 20 years you can drop. That money goes into a higher interest account, and for 5 years you can actually accrue more money as you work. So they do have a drop program that helps a lot of employees out. The thing they changed is cost of living increases were dramatically hit and Arizona State and public safety. So if you are in either one of them and you retire, the cost of living increases. They have to, both of them, the fund has to make over 10.25%. If it does, the more they make, the more they'll give the COLA. If they don't hit that number, there's no COLA for that year. So again, that's a real wishy-washy area, but from what I found, it's actually both. Arizona State and public safety have the same thing. So either way on that one, it's the cost of living increases aren't too great. Being in public safety, they do help retirees with after work benefits, medical expenses, not expenses, but medical insurance. They have a lot of programs that help that. They actually have a cancer insurance program for all the members of the public safety retirement system, since there are a lot of cancers out there that they have linked back to police and fire fields that have been caused by careers. So there is that also is in the public safety retirement system. Good questions? Oh,
We did this, what, 2 years ago?
I believe it
was. Was it 2 years ago? First year that we were on the
yes.
board.
I,
yeah,
yes.
That was 2008 or 2009.
I believe it was...
Having so much fun.
2008.
So
it was January 1st or 4th of 2008.
Okay. And they're aware that all the snafus we went through.
Oh, yes.
Correct? So,
yes. They're
now,
very well aware.
Okay. My next question is, what percentage of the fire personnel would like to transfer over to the public safety?
All 6 full-time personnel, and I spoke to the chief, and he is also interested in it. So every full-time personnel here at the fire district is interested in switching.
So who can qualify? Just full-time personnel?
Yes. Full-time, paid fire, and EMS. If there is administrative, there is actually, they can go into the correctional officer retirement plan. Any police or fire administrative personnel are allowed to join what's called CORP. But we could also do that but it is a very similar plan. But again, it hangs around the 20-year retirement and some of the other benefits, but it does not include the drop.
Who are these 6 full-time personnel?
It would be myself, Captain Peterson, Captain Waters, Sally Levine, Jen Huss, and Terry Tingle, and Chief Martinez.
Oh, so you have 5 full-time plus the chief?
6 full-time plus the chief.
Oh, 6 full-time plus the chief, okay.
Myself, Siley, Chris, and Jen, or Captain Waters and Jen, and Captain Peterson and Terry Tingle.
What would the part-timers do? Do they have any option, or do they have any...
They could still fall under the state retirement system, but again, they are not... If you're not a full-time paid fire or police official, you are not eligible for public safety. We could look at other avenues, either state retirement, under the parameters that we're running right now, I believe it's 20 consecutive weeks. Over 20 hours for those 20 consecutive weeks, they have to be in state retirement. So I think that would still apply, even though the full-timers are on public safety. We could still do that.
Do the part-timers have any type of retirement plan?
I believe they're eligible to participate in the 457B, the deferred comp plan, but there is no actual set up retirement for the voluntary part-timers right now. No.
Okay. And how many people do we have in the Arizona retirement system right now?
Right now, same, all employees, the, 7. All 7? Yeah,
all.
Plus the secretary was also.
Okay,
yeah.
So just basically moving. So we have 100%.
Yes, and again, those funds could transfer from state retirement to public safety with no penalty.
With no...
no penalties.
When you say no penalties, does that mean no time? In other words, the last 2 years, would you lose those 2 years?
No, that money would be put into the public safety. And
what money?
The money that, like myself, whatever money I've gained in Arizona State Retirement System, that will actually transfer over to the public safety retirement system, and I will gain years of credit through that money that I transferred over.
Okay.
Generally, it's not as much going from state to public safety. You don't get the full 2 years. You might get a year. Unfortunately, that is one of the drawbacks for transferring. If you go vice versa, you get more out of public safety than Arizona State Retirement. So that's some of the wish-wash there. But this will transfer over. There will be no penalty to the district, of course, or the employees for transferring that money from Arizona State Retirement to that. If the employee chooses not to, then that's their own choice. And whatever taxes that will be brought out of that will incur themselves. But we are able to transfer it over with no penalty via taxes or anything like that for transferring that money.
What's the benefit
for
going from one to the other?
Again, the 20-year retirement, public safety has a 20-year retirement, where Arizona State retirement, to get a full pension, you have to have 55 years old and 30 years of service. I'm in this business, 30 years of service, there's not much left of you after that, unfortunately. And again, that would put me 15 years over, personally. I'll use myself as an example. I would have to work an extra 15 years in this business to get a retirement where, under public safety, I would have 11 years to go. That is one of the biggest benefits. Again, if we wait until after January 1st of 2012, everybody will be held to that 25 years and 52 and a half years. Yes,
so you're saying, actually, you'd have to stay another 26 years?
Yes.
11 plus 50.
Yes. Well, I'm at 9 right now, so under public safety, if I get back into it, I have a little over 9 years in public safety already from the Bisbee Fire Department, where I work prior. If I got back into it, I have 11 years until I get a full pension. If we stay with state retirement, I have to be 55 years old and 30 years of service. They do have a formula. Unfortunately, they don't have that on the website, and nobody can explain it to me, how you would reach a full pension with the formula. You will get somewhat of a pension, but as far as a full pension goes, you will not get that unless you hit those numbers under state retirement. Again, the drop program, that's another huge one that helps a lot with the increasing cost of living and health insurance after you retire. I'm sure, as some of you know, health insurance isn't cheap. It's not cheap for the district, but it sure isn't cheap once you retire. So again, that drop program is what will happen is, according to the employee's contribution, the employee doesn't make any more contributions. The employer will still pay into the drop, the monthly contributions for that employee. That builds up, and what the employee would actually gain, I'm sorry, no, I misspoke. No, the employer does not pay after, like say if I hit 20 and dropped, and hit went in the drop program. Nobody pays anymore, but what I would get as my retirement goes back into an account, and it's about an 8% or 90% interest account. And after how many, you can go up to 5 years in the drop. So if I pick 5 years at my 25th year, I can no longer be in the system no matter how. I have to retire out of that system. I'm not supposed to come back under the same job title, anything like that. So at that 5 years, I will also have now a drop account and then be receiving my pension from the public safety retirement system. So I'll also have another account that had that high interest account with drop fund. That's another big plus for public safety that Arizona State Retirement doesn't offer. But the biggest thing is the years of service that's required. This is, if the tone went off right now and you're standing out in the bay and you jumped out of your skin because it's pretty loud, it wears on you. 20 years in this business is quite a long time, and I've seen people do 30 years, and it causes something called burnout in our field. Burnout means you know your job, you just don't want to do it, and it just wears on. That is the biggest thing, and again, like I said, future employees that are looking, if we do have openings here, that is a big draw for them to come here, is if we do offer that retirement, because they can transfer over if they leave another department with public safety. And again, I have 4 pages of departments that are in the public safety retirement system in the state of Arizona. So there's a pretty big pool of people that we can, if they did come down here, we would have that, we would offer that. And that would, believe you me, it was not having it was one of the biggest drawbacks for me. I had actually turned my position down twice before I finally came out here because of the retirement situation. But again, I would like to get back into it. The employees would. It is a major benefit to the employees. There's nothing else about it. The benefit is the employees.
Now, the board will discuss this. I need to ask one final question on my part. If the board decides to go ahead with this, and you contact the public safety, how soon will they bill us? I mean, we have some time constraints here because Mr. Heine won't be back till next week.
Okay.
And we need to draw a check if that is...
Again, it's that $1,500. I do believe that would be needed as we send in paperwork. They just realized I received a package from them today, and I believe she sent you a package also a year or two ago. The Dawn Toger, she had sent you a packet of paperwork about public safety, I'm not sure. She said she had.
Yeah, it probably went to Mary Farrar.
Okay. But I do have a packet, I haven't been able to look through it, but from the public safety retirement system, so I do believe that is the information that I've been requesting for some time now in paper. So most of it should be in there, and if we want to join, we would have to just fill that out, send the check in for $1,500. They begin that day, and the day we sign and actually join the plan, that's the start date. and the employees will start their contributions. The, like say if we started it today, we would technically start putting into that plan on October 1st. It'll start the next, it'll be the first of the next month. So if we start in the middle of the month, it doesn't start in the middle, it starts the next beginning of that month.
Any other questions from the board? Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to just, you know, for the record, to say thanks to Josh. I mean, that's a lot of work that he's gone through and put together, so I think that he goes around the hand, and he looks very professional presenting it.
Here, here.
Very good presentation.
Thank you, sir.
The lights are. Where are the lights? So now the board will discuss this and possibly vote to proceed with this. Any comments from the board?
I'd like to make the comment that I think it's worthwhile for us to spend the $1,500 to figure out what we can do. I mean, we've been through this a couple of times now. Evidently, we appropriated $2,000 before. I don't know that we can go back and check on that, but I guess if there's not a whole lot of discussion or whatever, maybe I guess I can make a motion. I would make a motion that we appropriate the $1,500 to have the audit done so that we can figure out where we're at with this.
We have a motion on the floor by Mr. McCarter to appropriate the $1,500 to send to the public safety retirement system and get what is necessary to start it as soon as possible. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second by Mr. Rebel Jones. Any further discussion on this? I just want to make a comment. When we first were approached with this a couple of years ago, it definitely was the best system. Public safety just fell behind, and the employees needed some coverage at that time and opt to go to the Arizona retirement system, and that's what we went. I'm glad public safety is available. Any other comments? We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of spending the $1,500 for the study through public safety retirement system with a show of hands. Show of hands, show all board members did vote in favor of that. Captain, open up the, you know, let's get that ball rolling. Find out if they need the check right away or if they can bill us. You might want to let them know of our situation right now, that we won't get any other checks or payments out till next week.
Yes, it'll probably take me a couple days to get all the information they need anyways.
Okay. So I mean, if we can get it started as soon as possible, yes. You know, I would benefit everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move back to our new business, discuss and possibly vote on the status of purchasing the Jaws of Life. I put discuss first because some other situations have come up concerning the Jaws of Life that we had talked about on our last meeting. I'm going to ask the chief to present that information.
Okay, the board had approved to go ahead and purchase the Jaws from Extrication Concepts, and they specifically mentioned the Extrication Concepts at $17,844.92. They also mentioned to go to a lease purchase with 3 to 5 years. Well, after checking several banks, nobody would finance it or do a lease purchase for less than $35,000 until just recently. I just picked up Zion Bank with another Jaws company for $26,000. Their Jaws are running $26,000, and they will do a lease purchase.
Could you give us the financial facts on that? Do you have that available?
The Their breakdown is going to be looks like it's going to be in the neighborhood of 3.499976%. Payments we're looking at are $5,869.26 a year for 3 years. Here's a financial deal.
$5,000 something for six years. 5 years.
The grand total of it for that set would be $26,471.48.
I have a question. Is that going to be more in the way of the Jaws of Life than the $17,000 Jaws
yes.
of Life?
It's going to be for a new set for $26,471.48.
But I mean, is it going to give us more? I mean, is it a better Jaws of Life? Do we get more equipment? Does it do more things? Is it?
It does a lot more than what we have.
No, from the $17,000.
Well, the $17,000 to me, and this is just me personally, I think that the $17,000 Jaws are a lot better Jaws. But that's just my personal preference.
That answered my question. So we're going to spend 5 years, $5,900, $30,000. $29,346. Just look at the number, Bill. Okay.
However, there is another option, and talking to Extrication Concepts, which has the Jaws that I prefer, and they, being that nobody would finance it, they'll carry the note, but he has stipulations on the note because it's coming out of his pocket, and he would like to have $10,000 down and then make payments from there.
What kind of interest rate is he talking?
It should be on there.
36 months. That just tells us it's $262.33 a month for 36 months. Doesn't give an, oh, no, sales tax. Doesn't state an interest rate. Does someone have a calculator?
$9,432 is what I get. What, 262 times 36?
Yeah, it comes. It makes them come out at 22,345. So I think that's a pretty steep interest rate, actually. Well, let's just figure it out here. It's how much? How much was the original?
17.8.
Yeah, it adds $2,000 in interest.
Yeah, that's $2,432.
Like that. Okay. Did somebody else want to look at that?
Jones? No, I'm fine. So, basically, we're looking at $19,432 for that unit, but with $10,000 down.
So since things have changed, I've brought it back to the board to make a decision.
And the other one was, you said around $30,000 after paying all the interest on that, right, Bill?
Yep, 29 something.
Close to 30. 30 as opposed to 19. 32. That's $11,000 more for the other unit in interest, but again, spread out over a 5 year period at $5,869.26 a year.
I do have a question.
Mr. Jones?
Does this Zion Bank do they have a early payoff penalties where if we finance or next year budget in more to pay this off?
I don't believe so, but it doesn't have that on here for sure. But for the most part, most anything anymore for the fire service doesn't have a early penalty.
Bill?
I think, personally, that if we can't have a lease purchase plan, I'd like to go back to our first option of buying the JAWS outright at $17,000, because otherwise we spend a lot of extra money doing this. Even though we get to stretch it out, it still costs us a lot of money to do that. So if we have the ability to do so, I'd like to personally go back. If we've determined that the JAWS of life is something we absolutely want to do, they're not going to get cheaper.
I was going to ask, what is the difference? Well, I can see the difference. Does the JAWS of life protect the passenger better than the cutting tool that the fire department now has?
The tool we have now is unserviceable. We can't use it.
No, there is a cutting tool, a saw. What is that called?
K-12.
The K-12?
K-12 rescue saw.
Yeah, the K-12 rescue saw. That'll cut through anything, right?
Yeah, but as long as we don't have gas or anything.
Yeah, because a lot of
sparks.
So that's what I'm asking. The JAWS of life doesn't cause a lot of debris. And
safer.
It's just like a can opener,
right.
Correct?
It's a safer tool.
Hydraulically run can opener. It's going to come up. It's going to be the next, the same question that was brought up at the last meeting, is taking it out of the reserve fund is the only option to go to.
I certainly don't want to go spend an extra $9,000, $10,000 on more stuff just to get into a situation where we can at least purchase this thing. I don't want to do that. Personally, I'd just soon outright pay for the JAWS of life and figure out a way to, if it's going to cost us $6,000 a year for 5 years to lease purchase to get to that point, I think we can figure out a way to come up with the other $12,000 that we're not going to spend this year, if you see what I'm saying.
How many times have we used the JAWS of life?
I think he said, answered that last meeting, just a few times this past year is what they've used it actually for. Removal, extrication.
How many times have we used the JAWS of life? How many, in an average year?
Last year we used 5.
Of JAWS of life, where did we get it? If ours is broken, where did you get the JAWS of life?
It wasn't broken at the time. It just recently broke. That's for the last one.
Under the minutes that I'm reading right now, Mr. Jones asked that same question. How many times was this tool used in the last year? And the chief thought that one excavation was done in the last year and not sure how many before that, according to the minutes that was recorded last.
I actually just recently did research on this for the AG grant, and we had 6 excavations last year. One of them was right there on the cusp of where there could have been more money than 2,000 before I got here. Because there's no time to mark down on the same kind of person. According to the stats section, that we had 6.
Now, that's 6 using the tool?
Yes. According to the notes used in extrication, that would state what was used. And I didn't go back and actually pull the reports. But 6 balls that were in extrication.
Now, what is the definition of extric- identification.
Having to force entry into a compartment.
So force entry doesn't necessarily mean you use the jaws of life at
not
that time.
Not necessarily, but that would be the quickest, easiest way for us to gain entry into the bachelor compartment.
Okay. So maybe 6 were performed, but maybe only one using the jaws of life.
I have a hard time believing that only one was performed using the jaws of life.
Okay, I was just going off the minutes and,
you know. The way you have to do manual electrification using hand tools and whatnot is so labor intensive and back breaking that it would be dumb not to use the jaws.
Mr. McCarter?
Is there a charge associated with using the jaws of life for extrication if we go to the...
We do have the ability to bill for extrications for those who do not live in the district, but I do believe we do exercise that courage.
Yes.
So there isn't a charge associated.
Do we have any out of district?
I have, and they have been billed.
I didn't get into that.
Do you know what the charge is?
Presented it to the board many months when I first started. I think it was like 185. The charges for the engine and then the crew members and then anything that was done with that engine. I believe it was like 185 an hour. But I do recall that two of them that I have been on personally, where I used the jaws, they have been built. So, and I believe they've been collected also.
Can you tell me the location of those two areas?
One was in Sunazona. Paul and I were on Birch. And then I was on I-10 on another one.
Oh, we also have another one in Kansas City.
So really, Elfrida could have come to one and Wilcox could have gone to the other.
But Wilcox could not go to the other because Wilcox was already being used in another accident. That's why we were called to the interstate. Normally, we don't go to the interstate.
Now, you mentioned last time this was brought up, repairing the current jaws of life, and then next year we can budget to just outright buy the equipment. The repair, you said, would cost around
$2,000. Right around $2,000, yes.
I know it's not adequate for the new vehicles, but going off of what you're telling us with the amount of times that it does get used, that would be an alternative for us to have the equipment currently and then something to budget for on this next budgeting season session.
Because I want to bring up something else that was also in the minutes for last week. It was brought up after it was seconded that I asked if the slow trickling of the wildland money to replenish the reserve account, of course that was brought up as a solution to replenish the money that would be taken out. And if that slow trickling in of the wildland money to replenish the reserve account, and I asked Ms. Tucker if this was possible, I'm reading from the minutes, could that money be directly applied to the reserve account? Ms. Tucker replied that she was not comfortable in using the reserve since we only had $49,000 left in the operating account. She wanted to make that very clear to the board. $49,000 left in the operating account back in August 16th. Do we have any idea what is left in the operating account?
Or? It has gone up, but at the end, we didn't do a financial report. I didn't write it out. But I did get a statement from the Treasury's office yesterday, and it has gone up considerably. And then also, we have received numerous checks, as I have mentioned before, that are waiting for Maria to come in so we can deposit those.
Now,
and we also received some wildland checks in also.
What do we need per month to operate? When it says operating cost, is this employees' paychecks, payments, paychecks, and bills?
It was everything.
So it's everything.
Yeah,
so
utilities.
So what do we normally use per month?
We used 62,000 something last year, our last time on our, but that was a high month. Normally around 46 to 49,000. So 49,000 is a month's worth.
Okay. And we should be receiving in our taxes next month.
Remember, October is when the taxes start coming in. That's right.
Start trickling in October.
What's the scenario if we run out of operating money?
If we run out of operating money, then the county will carry us for a period of time and then ask us to do a 5-year plan and how we're going to punish it. And we've never tapped into that plan since.
And from what I understand, they also charge a percentage to carry.
Was it 5% or?
No, I think it's 4 or something, 4.3 or something for that effect.
So
we need to be careful not to get into that situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to prevent. You know, that's what I would not like to see, in my opinion, to go there. So I read those off the minutes just to remind the board that, you know, our operating cost is $45,000 per month. August we had $49,000 left in the operating account. And we have $24,276 left in the reserve account. I noticed the chief just handed Mr. Carter our
from the treasury report.
What is the date on that? September 19th?
That's when I received it.
This is from the county?
Yes.
Yeah, we paid last month $63,572.20 in warrants. This number doesn't help us, this closing balance, because that's the closing balance of all fire departments in the county. But if that was our balance, we'd be all right.
But the 60-some-odd thousand you said we paid out on warrants, does that have an ending date?
Our closing balance as of last month, they say, is $23,384.42. Our opening balance was, that's reserve, excuse me. We had more than that in the reserve.
We had 24,276. Is that
23,384.42
it says. Would you repeat that one that amount one more time, Bill?
23,384.42
in the reserve account. Thank you.
So we'd basically be down to $5,000.
I think that's getting a little close. I'd rather not just go there.
Well, at the same time, there's not much we can do with the $24,000 in the reserve account. That's not even half the operating cost, you know, for the station. That's, you know, about a third of the operating cost in the station if we needed to go to that to use as operating cost. So,
Mr. Chairman, you can't use it as operating costs anyways for capital only.
Capital only. Oh, so, okay.
It's
so
reserved for purchasing equipment.
Purchasing
such,
equipment.
But we can't use it as operating expenses.
So.
It's there to do this, but what if we need to replace the engine on one of the fire trucks or have to get the equipment to keep it running? We have to keep a reserve there to take care of that type of stuff also.
That's true, very true.
Anything can happen on an emergency situation.
Any other recommendations from the board?
I'd like to wait on this until we get a little bit better feel on our finances, what's been coming in, and where we stand with that.
What about the suggestion to repair the Jaws of Life that we have now for $2,000.
Well, it says here that it's not really sure that it'll work, but I'd rather see that.
That's...
Well, when they say it wasn't sure that it would work, I think that, that was brought up that it wasn't capable of cutting through the metals that that are put into the new automobiles today. Is let me ask the chief that, that question. Chief?
That is correct.
It would work, but it just would not work as well as the new Jaws of Life, right. Correct?
Right. We're putting money into it. We're putting money into an old piece of equipment, and then also not as it only an old piece of equipment, but we put that $2,000 into repairing the hose. What if we take it out and on the next call break the jaws? We just wasted $2,000. So it's kind of a...
So would it,
but if they don't break, because
if it doesn't
success,
break, then you
successfully extricated a patient, which currently we'll have to wait for either Wilcox or Alfreda for mutual aid.
If they're available, yes.
If they're available, which you never know what's going to happen. But
there's a lot of ifs.
Yes.
There are.
You know.
But I would like to see us just get that pair repaired, and then, like you say, budget for the full purchase price next budget.
I would too.
We're just getting too close to the bank accounts just get too low to just go out and buy a new set right this moment. And we still haven't discussed when are we going to start putting money back into the reserve to build it back up?
Well, we had a motion from the last meeting to replace the money from the reserve account with the money coming in from the wildland fires. And I think Mr. McCarter noted that there was $105,000 that still needed to come in from the wildland fires.
Yes.
But that money would have to be put into the operating account first. So already we have money that has to be earmarked for other purposes rather than the reserve fund.
Right.
And the only way we can add money into the reserve fund is when we do our budgeting for next year.
We can add to the reserve anytime
right.
We feel like we have money to put
right.
In.
But at this point, it doesn't seem like we're going to be adding.
Well, we've just basically started our fiscal year, actually.
June, that's true. Well, all I can do at this time is ask, are there any motions from the board?
Can we cancel last month's motion to repair the Jaws of Life for now until we can work a full amount into next year's budget?
Well,
we start with whatever motion you have, actually.
Right, because we don't cancel last month's motion.
Okay.
The chief attempted to do that, and there was no way that he could get a lease option or a purchase,
okay,
3 to 5 year option that was part of that motion. So the motion would just be something new, without having to
okay.
to go back.
The old one is null and void.
Yes. So do we have any new motions from the board?
I'd like to move that we just pay the $2,000 to repair the old Jaws of Life.
We have a motion from Ms. Roll to use the $2,000. Is it approximately $2,000, Chief?
Yes.
$1,735, I remember, something on 17 something.
That was under.
So can I add to her motion at this point, or?
Well, let me state the first motion. The motion is to repair the Jaws of Life,
not to
exceed $2,000.
Okay.
Ms. Roll, is that your motion?
Yes, it is,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second that.
We have a second from Mr. Rebel Jones. Do we have any discussion from the board before we vote?
Rebel, did you have something else?
No, I just wanted to make sure we had a...
Mr. Jones.
A limit of how much the repairs will be willing to spend on it. Because I just don't see spending, you know, upwards around $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for an old set if we're going to be getting a new set on the next budget.
Right.
Do we have any other further discussion before we take a vote? We'll now take a vote on this. All board members wanting to repair the Jaws of Life for under $2,000, not to exceed the $2,000 limit, with a show of hands. A show of hands. All in favor of? Three board members voted in favor of that. Any board member against? Any board member abstaining?
I'm going to abstain.
We have one board member abstaining, Mr. Bill McCarter. That motion will be passed. And moving on to the next agenda item. Item number C, discuss and possibly vote on scheduling a date for the upcoming audit by James H. Saunders, our the CPA company that does our audits. I think everybody has seen the attached letters that came with that. Since the chief has been discussing that with the company, I assume, correct, chief? You've been in direct contact?
They just emailed me and let me know that they had sent the stuff over and I forwarded it to you.
Okay.
So I haven't really had any.
Do we need to schedule a date and how many days would that take?
I think they usually take 3 days.
3 days? And what is the cost of that again? I don't remember from last year.
On the letter there, on the letter? I believe it's $6,000.
Yeah. Or 67.5. Not to exceed 67.5.
Page 4.
$6,750. $6,750. That's right here.
So we have to have it done before June 30th of 2012, is that correct, Keith?
Yes.
Okay.
So why is it?
And just so the board understands, then we've got some board members on. Anything over $1 million has to be audited. That's why we have to have an audit. I know that 1 year we tried to use Breachers.
Yes.
And the board was really unsatisfied with them because they didn't do an audit. They thought they were getting an audit.
It was a review instead of an audit.
Correct. And I think that person spent 4 days here to do that review.
Okay. For some reason, I was under the assumption that this needed to be done as soon as possible.
Well, they just want to try and get us on schedule if we're going to do it.
Okay.
It needs to be done when? By when?
June 30th of 2012. So, when did we do this last? Do you remember, Chief, or Bill?
I don't remember.
Last year, I think we were already scheduled and we had it done in October. Double check.
Yeah. I didn't think it was done that time. I thought it was early spring, late winter.
Because the audit book that you passed out to the board members, they passed that out in like December timeframe. Attached you for the last audit.
You mean the results of the last audit?
Yes.
So it was December. So yeah, it was possible.
December 16th.
December 16th.
Is when they did their letter.
Oh, that's when they sent us the audit results?
The report was actually done December 13th.
Okay.
The audit was done the 13th, that's right.
But it was started much sooner than that, correct?
Probably 3 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, now these are the same guys that do the financial statements.
I'm not sure what you mean, Ms. Rowe.
They do the financial statements.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a financial statement.
She's got a copy of
June 30th.
Oh,
That's the audit.
That's the audit. That
okay.
is the audit. Yeah,
okay. All right, then it's the June 30th, 2010.
Right.
If the date helps you with anything.
So this is another item that we need to budget into our account. I think December or January would be a good time to schedule this. Most of the money will, you know, a greater percent of the money should be in by that time, I think.
Well, it's already been budgeted.
Right.
I mean, this was
budgeted. It's been budgeted, but we don't have it in the account.
Right.
January would probably be a good time to have him come out and look at the books. I would feel.
Yeah, I think January is a good day too.
Mr. Chairman,
let me ask the chief. We're considering a couple of things. Well, the board is talking about a couple of things. Possibly having the audit date done a month later. For my opinion, just to be safe with the operating expense money,
right.
And also just to iron out all the details, you know, working without a secretary, and I think by then the board will be able to figure out maybe not a solution, but something, you know. We'll discuss that portion in on the future agenda items to discuss, but the board is thinking about doing, from what I heard so far, just doing later. What is your opinion, Chief?
Well, just to clarify just real quick, we can schedule it whenever we need to schedule it. I think the intent here is to go ahead and get on the schedule and do the letter of intent. That's what they're asking for, is for the board to make a decision if they want to use Saunders. And if they do, then they need the letter of intent to get you on the calendar.
That's fine.
And we can come back with a date on, you know, I can ask them what's available on their calendar and then put it up for another agenda.
Okay.
And then we also have to set in the budget price, too, in the minutes, don't we?
We budgeted for this.
Yeah, it's already been budgeted. The amount's been budgeted.
So why would we have to approve what day they come out to do the audit?
With what the chief just said, if I might comment, what he's saying is we've approved to have we have to have an audit. We don't have to have Saunders do it. Saunders did it last year. We were happy with them. I don't see any reason to change companies. But they're wanting to know, are we going to use them?
So we're just saying...
What we're discussing basically here, from what I understand, is are we going to use Saunders to do our audit? If we are, we need to tell them we're going to, so they can put us on. The money's been appropriated. We can't not appropriate it. We have to have an audit.
Right.
This was probably the most reasonably priced, I think, last year. There's no reason to change companies. That's my thought. So we ought, with that all in mind, I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead and use Saunders to do our audit and let them know that we'd like to do that.
For what month?
I don't know that we need to stipulate a month at this particular time. We just need to let them know that we're going to use them to do our audit.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion presented by Mr. McCarter to use Saunders and Company as our audit team. It has been seconded by Ms. Candy Roll. Any further discussion?
I would ask one question. Do we know what did it cost last year? Do you know?
It was pretty close to the same.
That's what I was thinking, like $5,900 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's gone up. Okay. Any other further discussion?
Says it does not include expenses.
I was just listening to the radio, make sure that everybody had a clear hearing of it. We will now take a vote on this. All those in favor of using Saunders and Company as our audit team for the fiscal year coming up, or for this fiscal year, ending date June 30th, 2012, with a show of hands. A show of hands shows that three board members are in favor of using Saunders and Company. Any opposed?
abstaining.
Okay, we have one abstaining from the vote, and that's Mr. Rebel Jones. So that vote will pass. Under item number D, discuss and possibly vote on the chief's contract, portion section 8, under other benefits, to increase his uniform allowance. As I understand it right now, his uniform allowance stands at
$200? $200, which is the same as all the other employees. However, I'm pretty much here Monday through the week. So, and I don't like wearing just plain t-shirts being the chief, I like wear clothes. I'm just asking for a
Monday. Monday through what? What are your Mondays?
Lately, I've been working Monday through Friday.
But it was Monday through Thursday?
Monday through Thursday.
What are our chances of you continuing Monday through Friday?
Pretty good right now. Because I don't have anybody else in the office.
And what does the full-time employees get? 200?
200. And most of the time they're here 2 days a week, unless they're working their Saturday, and then they're here 3 days a week.
Do the other full-timers sleep in their uniforms, or do they have other...
I've never slept in the room that you guys wear since the week.
So
we wear the same uniform.
Right, you wear the same uniform, but while you're in your sleeping quarters, I'm sure you change into something a little bit more casual. So you're not in that uniform for the full. Unless you're on call, but on the same your quarters.
I don't need a whole lot. I'm just, maybe $50, just so I can get another shirt.
Any other further discussions? Do I hear any motions from the board? I hear no other motions from the board.
I'll make a motion to increase his clothing allowance $100. $100, bringing the total up to $300.
Okay, there's a motion from Ms. Candy Roll to increase the chief's uniform allowance to $300, which is an increase of $100. Do I hear a second? I do not hear a second. Any further discussion? Then that motion will not pass. Moving on to the next agenda item, under item number E, discuss and possibly vote on the situation concerning the vacant position of the secretary. Part of that discussion came from Mr. Heine, who is doing, as I mentioned earlier under the financials, Mr. Heine is doing that particular job as far as payroll and billing. Of course, he can't do it all. The ambulance billing was one of the situations, of course, that came up, and looks like the chief has that under control right now. I'm not. The chief has told me that he would give me a report exactly on how much money came from that endeavor that he's bringing that one person from Fry Station in, and basically just a report how far back that ambulance billing went, what monies were involved, and possible some scenarios of why that was there. Mr. McCarter.
Can I ask where this agenda item came from?
Mr. Heine wanted to make sure that we discussed that situation about the secretary. One of the things I was concerned about also, he just wanted to make sure that the board was informed that he's doing that position and that...
Did he want full-time?
No. And that... he would like to address the board and ask the board to make sure that only he does the financials. Mr. McCarter?
I'd like to ask what
I guess I'll ask this of the chief. Has there been a, is there some plan as to replacing or not replacing or?
Yes, and I was going to, since that was the subject that's on here, I was going to fill you in on what was going on. We do have job descriptions posted, and we are taking applications, and we've received quite a few, actually. And some of them are actually from this area with QuickBooks experience, and more than just a few years of QuickBooks experience. However, we are taking applications. We put a deadline for October 15th, anticipating to do reviews on October 17th and 18th.
I'd like to point out at this point concerning this, in the chief's contract, it also says he has the ability to hire and fire, but under any circumstances that require, does anybody have a copy of the contract?
I have a copy.
I'll read from that. The fire board here acknowledges and agrees that the fire chief is to be able to properly execute the duties of his office. It is necessary for him to have complete authority over all fire department personnel issues, example, hiring, termination, promotions, and demotions. However, the fire chief also understands that it is his responsibility to keep the board advised of all personnel issues of significance. And that person, you know, this is a real significant situation, the secretary, the hiring of a new secretary. So I feel that portion of that contract needs to be directed toward the board, that if you feel you have some candidates available, that the board should see those qualifications. Mr. McCarter?
If I might help you with your wording there, the board will see those.
Yes, the board, because of that portion of the contract, the board will see those applications before any final determination is made. And that is part of my discussion. Anybody want to add anything else? No? Okay. Is this possibly vote on that situation? I think I should ask the board, are they all, do we need to vote on that particular situation since it's part of the chief's contract?
I don't see any reason to vote on it.
No, I don't see any either. Okay. Okay, we'll move on to the next item, discussion on new agenda items for the next regular meeting. Does any board member have anything to present for the next agenda item? Anything else?
Do we need to look into that harassment letter that was given to the board? Is that something that the board needs to...
The harassment letter.
I was emailed a letter from the previous secretary about the harassment that she was being harassed at her job site. Is that something that we need to address and look at?
Did the other board members get that?
I did, yeah.
I did. That was shortly before.
You don't get any of them.
You said yes, Bill?
I did.
Okay. I must have... I think I saw that. I think when that situation comes up, then it's going to have to be put on the agenda item, depending on how it affects the fire district. I don't think we, until that time, it's just premature to.
Well, she had already emailed us a letter of what was, you know, on her side of what was going on. Is this something that we need to have on the agenda to review and see? Was there anything going on? Is it just...
I think until we actually get an official letter from her, what is the grievance procedures that a person, an employee or a former employee would have to go through, Chief? Let me ask you that.
Well, if they have an agreement with me, then they would have to take it to me. If I have an agreement with Josh, I would have to take it to Josh. If it wasn't settled, then I would take it to the board. If it was a firefighter, then they would take the grievance to the captain. If the captain didn't take care of it, then they would go above the captain.
So basically the chain of command.
Right.
It follows the chain of command.
Right.
Okay, and I guess Ms. Tucker's chain of command would now start with us.
Well, before she was terminated, from what her letter stated that I read, said that she did address the fire chief, and she didn't. She hadn't gotten the results.
I have to read that.
And so then she sent the letter to the fire board, and it wasn't long after that that she was terminated.
Well, we'll discuss that item on the agenda for next month. We'll put that on. And that's recorded. I won't have to mark that down. Any other items on the agenda?
I'd still like to know why Captain Paul sent us a letter saying that we were derelict in our duties to sign checks when I wasn't notified about signing checks. That came through him while Chief was on a fire. How does that go along with the chain of command?
He presented the letter to me also.
Yeah, but that wasn't indicated that he had gone through his chain of command. I think it would be appropriate, Mr. McCartan?
We don't have any of this agendized, guys.
No, that's true.
There's no way for us to discuss
so
this.
We won't discuss it. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you bringing that up. So we'll discuss that on the next agenda item. That's another subject. So we have two items. I have one other item that needs to be discussed, and it might involve a special meeting. I'll have to talk concerning solar power. Mr. Gomez called me this morning and said he was ready to present anytime the board is ready. So that might be on the next agenda item. Anything else?
Yes, I guess. I'd like to put on the agenda to develop a pension board. The volunteer pension fund.
Okay.
How many people are on that board?
Five.
Develop a board of five for the pension board?
Yes, I believe it's one board member, fire chief, member of the public, and two firefighters.
Okay, we'll put that on the agenda item. Anything else from the board? Our agenda item number 10, call to the public. Anybody from the public? Public wishing to make a public statement? I would like to make a public statement. I just got the news today that our former fire chief McWilliams passed away today. And I'd like to state that he started working with something that was difficult for him with the lack of experience, but he was a community fighter and a community member that was willing to step up to the plate and made a great, great effort at working at the Sunside Pierce Fire Department.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add on to that if I can. Services are going to be Saturday at 2 o'clock at Wind Chapel. The fire department will be the honor guards for the funeral. Services, and he will be getting a fire department service.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Will there be bagpipes?
We're working on that.
Yes.
The time is 6:43, and the meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was able to talk to
you.
Is there any way I can get copies of all this stuff? Because I can't.
Yeah, let me get you all my copies here, Phil. The ones I sent to you, I sent a doc format. But you said you got the.
I got that.
Got the.
I didn't get what Chief said.
That was part of the agenda, the chief's report.
Huh?
I'm sorry, but Dino, didn't you open up?
That was right off.
As to what you wanted to bring up for next month?
But hold on, let me just answer this real quick. You have this on the
agenda. Take care.
I just copied it exactly, just pasted and copied it that from the EMS report, so that's all in there.
Right.
And then I don't have the financial report, you might want to keep that. Okay, take that. That was his statement that he sent, that he didn't have a financial report.
I just want everything pertaining to tonight's meeting. I don't really have this.
Okay.
Just so you know, I didn't record.
Okay, I did.
Did you do both?